Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals worldwide. Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. After his family and friends said goodbye at a private ceremony yesterday morning, fans and the city of San Diego got their chance to remember Junior Seau last night at a free public memorial at Qualcomm Stadium. But as Only a Game's Karen Given reports, Seau's death has exposed a struggle in the community of scientists dedicated to learning more about concussions in sports.
Let's start with what we don't know. We don't know if Junior Seau suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a disease that causes depression, mood swings, and erratic behavior in those who have suffered multiple concussions. We don't even know for sure if Seau suffered from multiple concussions. His ex-wife thinks there might have been many. A former teammate guesses as many as 1,500. If Seau's family allows his brain to be studied, as some organizations are reporting they have, we don't know what the results will be, or if the family will even choose to share the results with the public. But we do know that for the past week and a half, Junior Seau's family has been faced with these questions: whether or not to donate his brain to science, and which research organization should receive the gift. Things were simpler in 2002 when Mike Webster died of heart disease and other complications, and Dr. Bennett Amalu, the forensic pathologist performing the 17-year NFL veteran's autopsy, asked if he could look further into what may have caused Webster's trouble late in life. Webster's son Garrett says his family didn't hesitate.
Really, with all honesty, when Dr. Amalu said that he wanted to research the brain more, we kind of didn't give it a second thought, just simply because we were so, you know, wrapped up in grief and so wrapped up in the other things that were going on.
When Dr. Amalu found evidence of CTE in Mike Webster's brain, it was the first time a physical cause for what was then known as gridiron dementia had been found. Webster's family took comfort from the news.
It was definitely something that finally gave us peace that, you know, those times that, you know, Dad struggled, or those times that Dad maybe yelled at us, or those times Dad were depressed, it wasn't something we did. And when we found out what was happening, it made us feel better.
Now, Garrett Webster asks other families to donate to the Brain Injury Research Center, the West Virginia Institute where Amalu and other doctors study the long-term effects of concussions. But Webster's phone call is not the only one a family is likely to receive. Chris Nowinski, the co-director for the Boston University Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy, has said in the past that he's placed hundreds of calls to family members within 48 hours of a loved one's death, asking them to donate to a brain bank in Massachusetts. Garrett Webster says the most important thing is that the research be done by someone, but he acknowledges that he's in competition for brains of deceased athletes.
We believe our doctors are the best. You know, we were the people who discovered the disease. We've looked at more brains than anybody else. We are a 100% independent organization. We do not have accept any money from the NFL or any other professional sports league. So, of course, we're going to feel like we're the quote-unquote best, or we're the best option for people.
Boston University declined to comment for the story, saying, quote, "It is our policy not to discuss any completed, ongoing, or potential research cases unless at the specific request of family members. Our primary goal is to learn more about the long-term effects of repetitive brain trauma by conducting meaningful scientific research." The Boston University Center does list the National Football League and the NFL Players Association among its sponsors, something that Dr. Art Kaplan, the outgoing director at the University of Pennsylvania's Center for Bioethics, says isn't ideal.
One has to at least raise both eyebrows when research is funded, if you will, by someone that has a direct interest. In ethics, we call that a conflict of bias, and it means that because you have a dog in the fight, you have an outcome that perhaps could be skewed if you're funding the research as well.
Dr. Kaplan says families need to weigh potential bias and other factors. When faced with an unexpected or sudden death, it's not the easiest thing to do. Kaplan suggests an advocate could help families and survivors navigate the complicated issues surrounding donation of a resource that is in incredibly high demand.
The study of the brain has always been characterized by competition. There are relatively few people from all walks of life who donate their brains upon death. There are many people in the scientific community who would like to analyze brains for all sorts of reasons.
As deaths like Seau's bring more public attention to the issue, that demand is only going to grow. Suddenly, grant money is flowing and everyone is an expert. Even a 15-year-old high schooler was recently awarded $25,000 for developing a cheaper way to monitor big hits. It's a phenomenon about which Dr. David Hovda, director of the UCLA Brain Injury Research Center, has a good sense of humor.
I was asked by a colleague of mine up in Canada how many traumatic brain injury specialists there were in the United States. And I said, well, 10, 15 years ago, there was probably 200 of us in the United States. Now I think there are probably 20,000 of us.
Dr. Hovda says until recently, the only brain bank for traumatic brain injury resided in Glasgow, Scotland. Now he says the United States needs a collection of brain banks or data centers where specimens and the knowledge that comes from them will not become proprietary. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.